Bring the meeting to order, please. Then can I get a roll call?
Kurt Alstead.
Here.
Tracy Carluccio. Timothy Doherty. Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holdaway. Bruce James.
Here.
Carl Richco.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sabatin.
Here.
Michael T. Finn. James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here.
Can you please read the Open Public Meetings Act?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to newspapers throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Can you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to make a change in our agenda. We need to have an executive session at the beginning of the meeting before we head into the rest of the agenda. So we'll try to be as quickly as possible. I don't anticipate it being more than 10, 15 minutes, so hopefully. So, can I get the...
Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, at SEC permits the holding of closed sessions by public bodies in certain circumstances, the Council is of the opinion that those circumstances presently exist, and whereas the Council is seeking legal advice concerning a contractual matter and an ongoing investigation for which advice from Council subject to the attorney-client privilege is required, now therefore be it resolved that the Council may enter into closed session at its public meeting of June 18, 2015 for that purpose. It is anticipated at this time that the nature of the closed session will be made public upon completion or resolution of the issues to be discussed, except any matter protected by the attorney-client privilege will not be disclosed.
Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Bring the meeting back to order, please. That brings us to our next order of business, approval of minutes. Can I get a motion, please? Motion?
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio. Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzman. Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember Savitage.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefenk. Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Next item is executive, the approval of the executive session minutes of April 16th. We have a motion. Can I get a second, please?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway. Councilmember James.
Abstain.
Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember Sabatich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefenk. Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Next item up is the chairman's report. The only item that I was going to bring everybody up to date on is the personnel committee will be interviewing three applicants for the chief counsel job sometime, I think the first week of July.
July 6th.
July 6th.
Excuse me. Anything decided on the executive session?
Pardon me?
Anything decided in the executive session you can tell us about?
There's no. Nothing from executive session that's public at this point.
Thank you.
Any other members have any reports that are not listed here? Seeing none, I'll roll over to the executive director's report.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a few items from my report that I'd like to highlight for you. As you know, we have Clinton Township here today for the petition approval for plan conformance implementation. Since my prior report, the Patcon Borough and Sussex County has adopted their exemption determination ordinance, and a certification has been issued, so congratulations to Councilmember Francis.
Excuse me, Mark, can you use the microphone?
Oh, sure. In Oxford Township, Warren County, the checklist ordinance has been deemed consistent, and the municipality has adopted their Highlands Environmental Resource Inventory, and we have deemed that consistent. In Washington Township, Warren County, again, an exemption determined authorization, we have issued a certification for that. In Mount Arlington, the municipality has adopted their Highlands Environmental Resource Inventory. In Montville Township, the municipality has adopted a zoning map, which has been deemed consistent. We've had a couple of training sessions since we last met. On April 23rd, we held a session for the Highland Stormwater Management Mobile Application Training, which is designed for designated stormwater coordinators and municipal public works members and provides an overview of the Highlands Fund, Council-funded stormwater management program elements with the use of a focus on the use of a mobile application, which is really, really cool, to meet requirements of the New Jersey Stormwater Management Rules regarding the mapping of outfall locations and conditions. We held two sessions. We were attended by 38 individuals representing 31 municipalities and one county. We also had another Highlands Municipal Exemption Determination Certification Training. The April session was attended by 18 individuals representing 7 municipalities, so it continues to be very well received and popular. And I will just kind of mention that Califon Borough has been working on Exemption 5, which is the most common exemption since it deals with single-family homes that existed before the Highlands Act. And their zoning officer had noted that the full exemption application form seemed like too much for such a simple application. He wanted to provide some relief for his residents. So previous guidance from the New Jersey DEP regarding this exemption indicated that if a zoning officer can conclude by inspection that a project qualifies for an exemption, he can simply proceed with all other required permitting. But after speaking with his Highlands liaison about the possibility of waiving the need for an application for Exemption 5 request, the zoning officer decided to develop a simple certification form so property owners would have something that verifies the exemption in writing, which is what they're all looking for. We shared a copy of this form with trainees at this session as an option for implementation in their own municipalities. And in addition, Califon also decided to eliminate the fee they previously established associated with request for Exemption 5. So this is just good news all around. We've been working with our towns, but this demonstrates that the towns are working with us to keep us informed of how this is playing out in the real world and making adjustments accordingly. So it continues to be a very popular, successful program. On municipal issued exemptions, Washington Township in Morris County issued 5 Exemption 5s, 1 Exemption 2. Califon Borough issued 3 Exemption 5s. Ringwood Borough issued 1 Exemption 4. Montville Township issued 1 Exemption 5 and 2 Exemption 2s. And that concludes my report. So we also wanted to change the order of the agenda somewhat, since we have representatives from Clinton Township here to listen to the deliberations on their town, including the mayor. So if, with your permission, Mr. Chair, we will hear Clinton Township's petition next.
Great.
Okay, so I will turn this portion of the meeting over to Corey Piasecki.
Thank you. Good afternoon. As Margaret said, we're here this evening to discuss Clinton Township's petition for plan conformance in both the planning area and the preservation area. Clinton Township was incorporated in 1841 and has an area of almost 22,000 acres. As I previously mentioned, Clinton's petition is for both the preservation area, which is a relatively small portion of the township, which is 643 acres, and the planning area, which makes up the remainder. A couple of notable features about Clinton Township. It contains the Round Valley Reservoir, which was opened in 1977 and covers approximately 2,000 acres and is approximately 180 feet deep. It was once the deepest lake in New Jersey until that was eclipsed by Merrill Creek Reservoir. It also contains the historic Annandale Village, which had an established stop on the New Jersey Central Railroad and is currently a stop on New Jersey Transit's Raritan Valley Line. The township has significant agricultural lands, which make up 46.5% of the municipality, and the township is bisected by Route 78, 22, and Route 31, and we'll take a look at those a little bit later. As you can see here on this map, only two very small areas of the township contain preservation area. The remainder of the township is within the planning area. Clinton Township has made significant progress preserving lands with approximately 8,100 acres of preserved lands. It's notable that 429 of those acres are within the preservation area, which, as I said before, is only has a total of 643 acres. And 7,680 acres are preserved within the planning area. As I mentioned before, Clinton Township has a pretty robust transportation network with routes 22 and 78 running east-west and Route 31 running north and south. They also have the Raritan Valley Line with the Annandale train stop and a park and ride that is served by a private carrier. And actually, while you guys were in executive session, Marvin informed me that there is actually a second park and ride that lies right within the Annandale area. As I had also previously mentioned, much of the township lies within the agricultural resource area, most of which is in the planning area. 48% of the planning area contains agricultural resources. A public comment period was held regarding Clinton Township's petition for plan conformance from May 19th through June 3rd. Four comments were received regarding the petition. All comments were largely supportive of the township petition and were fully summarized and responded to in the final consistency review and recommendations report, which was posted on our website prior to this meeting and is available on the table out front as well as in council members' packets. Clinton's implementation plan and schedule includes funding for a Highlands designation, center designation study, a sustainable economic development plan, an agriculture retention and farmland preservation plan, a stream corridor protection and restoration plan, a stormwater management plan, and a wastewater management plan, among other items. The full implementation plan and schedule, again, is included on the table out front and is available in members' packets. That was also posted on our website prior to this meeting. We recommend that Clinton's petition for plan conformance in the planning area and preservation area be approved with conditions. Those conditions include adoption of the planning area petition ordinance, the checklist ordinance, the Highlands ERI, the master plan Highlands element, the Highlands land use ordinance, which will replace that interim checklist ordinance, the housing element and fair share plan, and a wastewater management plan, and of course adherence to the implementation plan and schedule as previously discussed. And Mr. Chairman, that concludes my presentation of Clinton's petition.
Thank you, Corey.
Prior to going to the public on this, can I get a motion?
I'll move it.
We have a motion and a second. Prior to going to the public, I know Bear Higgins is here. Do you want to stand up and have anything to say, or you don't have?
I probably should wait till after the vote, but
okay.
No, I wanted to first off thank the Highland staff. They've been a pleasure to work with, everybody from Corey up to Margaret, and Annette's done a lot of the meeting setup work in a very, very excellent fashion. So I appreciate it. And you know, it's been. I'm very glad we're. What would I say at the end of the beginning. We look forward to a further vote and getting on with implementing ordinance.
Thank you, Mayor. At this point in time, does anybody in the public wish to be heard on If you put an application, please raise your hand. Yes. Mind you keep your comments to 3 minutes?
My name is David Job. I have land in the preservation area in Lebanon Township. I'm looking at your resolution, yet to be numbered, and you keep on making the same shop-worn claims over and over and over again. The second, whereas, I'm asking for proof. Where you say it provides drinking water for over half the population of the state. Prove it, please. And then the third, whereas, economic viability in communities and residential, blah, 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 people are moving out of the area. There's no doubt about that. The fourth, whereas, legislature finds that Highlands region contains agricultural lands and active production, that these lands are important resources. Do the economic analysis of the value, that is to say, the net value of agriculture produced on these lands. Don't just don't say it. It's wrong. When you do the economic analysis, you'll find it's probably about $40 an acre. And then the next page, the first whereas, what are the exceptional resource values to the landowner? I've never seen any analysis of the exceptional resource values to the landowners, because my land has exceptional resources too, and I'm looking for some place to pick up my check. Then you go down, Section 8 and 10 of the Highlands, mandate to the Highlands Council to prepare and adopt a regional plan with the goal of protecting and enhancing the significant values of the resources of the Highlands region, blah, blah. Same thing, what is the value of the significant resources to the landowner? Again, I'm looking for a place to pick up my check. I'm against this resolution. It's full of baloney. The latest bribe that the council is offering, now that COA is in such a mess, is the town center bribe. I don't see any designation of the town center on your presentation today. It's to be that part of the bribe is yet to be worked out. I object to this resolution. That's it.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Ken?
Mr. Chairman, could you ask me to use the microphone?
Hi, my name is Erica Vanoff.
Erica, can you pull the microphone closer to the stand, please? Thank you.
Better? My name is Erica Van Alken. I'm the campaign coordinator for the New Jersey Highlands Coalition, and I just wanted to reiterate my written support of this petition. We are encouraged to see a town coming forward with their planning area for conformance, and we also appreciate the town's initiative to implement non-mandatory components, though we encourage them to implement others, such as historic protections. In general, we're looking forward to seeing what the council and the township are able to achieve through plan conformance. Thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I also would like to reiterate our written support for this plan conformance. We're especially pleased because Clinton Township is conforming not only the required preservation area, but also the planning area. I would say as a neighbor in Tewksbury Township to Clinton Township, I am particularly pleased as a neighbor to, because Tewksbury is working on plan conformance, to have Clinton also doing that. And as I suggested in my statement, Clinton is a beautiful township. It has a beautiful view on Cokesbury Road, and I hope that a little bit of grant funding can be squeezed out or technical assistance to include a visual resources, scenic resources aspect to the Clinton plan conformance, because visual resources, scenic resources are extremely important for tourism, ecotourism, agritourism, and recreation, and all the things that actually make us love the Highlands. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in public? Yes, ma'am.
Deborah Post. Clinton Township, according to your presentation, is almost entirely in the planning area. The legislature's clear intent was for the planning area to be where there would be growth. It was not meant to be preserved, or it would have been put in the preservation area, and it was not. Your presentation also indicated that roughly half of this township is farmland or an agricultural resource. So I would query whether a half a dozen landowners, probably farmers, own that land and are having a very large regulatory taking shoved down their throat by a township. I certainly hope those farmers take the opportunity to sue their township, because the township is doing the taking here. I also see nothing in your materials that suggests any compensation plan has been put in place as part of this conformance plan for those farmers. I see a, once again, I see a town center designation without any TDR arrangements, whereby the density of the town center can be transferred from the farmland, with the farmers getting paid for their taking, and those owning the land in the town designation area not experiencing the windfall gain we all know happens when there's a town designation. But of course, the town center designation is of lands owned by people with a lot of political power, and they have created a wonderful windfall.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on the Clinton Act?
Helen Heinrich from New Jersey Farm Bureau. Contrary to what you've heard, we see a lot of potential in this this plan conformance. A lot of land in Clinton is in farmland. Very few acres are actually preserved. I think the list of plans that they have to do and the money that they've been given to do it is the right order. The ag preservation plan is right up there at the top to be done in the next year or so. Economic development plan, they have an opportunity to include agriculture in their economic development. And if they do proceed with a center and look into TDR, maybe we'll get some money for compensation that way. So we see a lot of good things in this plan. And hope that we'll see some action very quickly and to support the farmland owners as well as everybody else.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Dave Pfeiffer. I'm Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. I'd like to say very strong support for this petition today. I'll keep the comment very short. Clinton Township has a tremendous strategic value for North Jersey's water supply system. It contains Round Valley Reservoir, but it also contains the point at which water is withdrawn from the South Branch of the Raritan River to feed that reservoir. The reservoir is entirely supported by pumping, not by watershed drainage. So the entire upstream area has a significant potential impact on the quality of that water, and particularly the mile or two above it, above the intake, which is important, especially during drought conditions in New Jersey. So I urge an approval, and again, reiterate our support for water supply reasons. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Sir.
How are you doing, folks? My name is Bill Honachesky, Jr., and I'm a resident of Clinton today, and a Clinton Township resident. And I'm also a former member of the Board of Adjustment, Historical Commission, and the Coles Acceptance Committee for Clinton Township. And I just want to stand here today and reiterate what the mayor said before. What you see before you today is 15 years in the making. the ordinances, their master plan, their gross acceptance, and it's all come down to this point. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak, and I urge you to approve Clinton Township's plan for conformance. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard on the Clinton application? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. I will now open it up to council members. Any comments? Yes, sir.
10 years ago, when the legislature was considering the Highlands Act, our senators had the knowledge and understanding that the property owners in the Highland region would be compensated for the lost value of their land. Section 6 of the Act states the council shall have the following powers, duties, and responsibilities. That's us. To identify and designate special areas in which development shall not occur while recognizing the need to provide just compensations to the owners of those lands when appropriate, whether through acquisition, transfer of development rights programs, or other means or strategies. Our state senators voted on June 10, 2004. They voted 34-2 in favor of passing the Highlands Act. You've heard me say this before. I think they would have voted differently had they known that 10 years later there would be no means, no programs, no policies, no procedures or strategies for payment of just compensation to the landowners. I think they would have voted differently had they known that 10 years later there would be an incomplete and underfunded transfer of development rights program. We're considering this resolution to approve a petition for plan conformance. Only 3% of Clinton Township is in the preservation area. The Act recognizes the need to provide just compensation. 97% of the township is in the planning area. Were approval of this resolution, and I quote from the Act, Section 6-0, will subject these lands to the restrictions imposed pursuant to this Act as to require a guarantee of just compensation. Unlike the senators who voted for the Act, we all know there is no means of compensation for these landowners, and therefore I cannot in good conscience vote yes. I'll be voting no on this resolution.
Thank you. Any other comments?
In review of the consistency review and recommendations of the report, what I saw here was a sundry of consistent. So I must compliment the mayor and your staff as well as the Highland staff for getting this thing done. And in my opinion, it's done well, and I plan to support it 100%.
Any other comments?
Yeah, Mayor, Chairman, sorry, please. And Mayor, I have a question. The town center, where is this town center proposed?
Ashley Court.
Mr. Chairman, it's for a center designation study.
Okay.
And that would be around the Annandale area. There's no line that's been drawn. The township would have to come back to this council for a formal center designation once that study is complete, if they so choose to designate a center.
I largely agree philosophically with almost everything, well, with everything Mr. Bowden said today, and we'll also be voting no. But the mayor, I respect the mayor. He and I have talked often about economic development strategies in Hunterdon County and Clinton Township. We disagree on this issue, but he's a good man, and he's a good people. But I'd be honest with you tonight, unless you need it. We'll count the numbers, we'll see.
Anybody else? Any other comments?
Yes, please. My comment in general is that I have a great deal of respect for the sovereignty of the municipality. And if a municipality's elected body decides they want to take any course of action, whether I agree with the legislation or not, I still have to respect and abide by that decision of the governing body. In this case, the governing body of Clinton Township has decided to apply for this application. So I'll be voting in the affirmative.
Any other comments?
Yes, this is Tracy Carluccio. Is this the moment I can interject my comments?
Please, Ms. Carluccio.
Okay, thank you. I strongly support this application, and I think really when you read through the documents and the source documents on the website, it really shows the positive benefits of water protection and planning that the RMC has made possible. And I really commend our staff and the township who's worked through this. And obviously, if you look at the timeline, it's been really a very involved process, and they've done a great job also just like to note that it is a very successful use of the land use management ordinance, which was quite appropriate because they're occupying the entire planning area. And just want to note that, you know, there really is a lot of justification in the document, particularly the environmental resource inventory, for opting in, and I can see why the township wanted to do it, because you look at the forest resource area, just in the planning area alone, of course, because this is, you know, a small part in the preservation area, over 5,000 acres, and there's steep slopes, and there's prime groundwater recharge areas, and 5,174 acres. And that's very important in order to address some of the difficulties that the township is not unique in experiencing, such as 6 of the 12 sub-watersheds are in water deficit. I think that's a red flag for us and probably for the township to know that in order to address the water deficit issues that they do have in half of their watershed, they really need to take action, and they're doing that through opting into the RMP. Also, another issue that they're going to be addressing by doing this is the fact that cases HUD 14 are classified as impaired waters on the impaired water list, and this will allow them a way to try to repair that and restore that by applying the full RMP. And then also just like to point out the critical wildlife habitat, 10,374 acres, that is a lot of the township, and that is really important because these are habitats that are vanishing from the state of New Jersey. And then finally, I think, of course, already been noted by others, but the ag resources are really prominent here. They're having, you know, more than 10,000 acres in ag resource areas. And also, I think it's really important that Round Valley and a portion of Spruce Run are going to be protected, because by protecting those watershed areas, we're going to be protecting the water supply for millions. And that is really, according to all of the science and the technical analysis that are being done, for instance, for the New York City watershed and for other watersheds across the nation, they're finding that the most proactive, economically viable, and beneficial way for the public to protect water supply quality is to protect the watersheds that feed those water supplies.
Thank you.
So I really am very much in support of this, and I congratulate us for bringing in a township application like this, we'll be voting for it. Thank you.
Anybody else? Yes,
sir. I'm going to be very brief.
Thank you.
I appreciate Councilman Loden's concerns about non-compensation for the farmers, and I agree with him very much on that. I wish there was something we could do about it. But this seemed like an overriding good idea for our state and for the watershed protection. And I know you people did a lot of work, and as you said, I'm sort of on your side because this is your township. You did the work. This is what you wanted to do, and I fully support it.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Yes, sir. Am I correct that there's no consideration being given to a TDR grant?
Not at this time.
So that troubles me, I think, more than anything. When I look at a designated task center possibility, when I look at the 31 corridor, the 22 corridor, with all the adjoining open space, it seems to me
In the railroad station,
thank you. It seems to me that there's some really good opportunities to implement TDR even within the municipal border and to help fund preservation efforts in all those other open space areas. And you may recall that I voted against Hackettstown a number of years ago because Hackettstown didn't implement and didn't seek TDR grant funding. And I think at the very least, if we're to approve this as a council, that this municipality should be agreeing to do a TDR exploration. So short of that, I'm going to vote no.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Craig. I didn't think about that, because it is it's perfectly situated for a transit village. That town center of Annandale, you've got the train station, you've got 7822, an exit there.
We have a transit village in Lebanon already, which we worked on, I think, as part of our years ago. Lebanon was before us, and I remember we had a presentation, and there was next to the train station, there was a apartments and condos, and I don't recall all the specifics of what we reviewed, but I know that that was a component of what we did in Lebanon Borough, and it's quite some time ago.
Well, I'm not a believer of the hammer to get people to do something on something that we can't require them to do, so.
Well, I think this goes back even earlier, just quickly, you know, some very ancient history. There was a lot of debate on this council about allowing planning areas to opt in. And the big debate was whether opting in the planning area meant that you also took on the responsibilities to plan. And that element lost out to they can opt in to preserve but not opt in to plan, and which many of us felt was lopsided. And so I'm not trying to hammer you today, but I think that part of our responsibility is to ensure that there's good planning, and I think that this is a perfect opportunity for TDR. I don't think we're doing enough with TDR. It's the only tool that we have available to us to impact preservation. And, you know, I'd be more than happy to entertain a vote to table this and allow the municipality to talk to our staff and consider a TDR rather than voting no today. But I think we really need to consider the opportunities here. And I think that this is a unique township, given the quarters, Annandale train station. I think we're missing an opportunity here.
I'm going to ask you to call the question. Any other comments? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
No.
Councilmember Carluccio. Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevicich.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
No.
Councilmember Walton.
Nothing matters right now.
Chairman Riley.
It doesn't matter. They're going to remember that.
Oh, he knows that.
Yes. Yes.
Congratulations, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will go back to the regular agenda now. The committee reports.
So now that you haven't been hammered, I hope you'll consider TDR. They can always come back, right? So I hope you'll consider coming back because I think there's some really good opportunities.
Bring the meeting back to order, please. This brings us to committee reports, landowner equity and land preservation. Mr. Walton.
Yeah, we have not met, but we still made some progress. The staff has met with some of our not-for-profits that work in land preservation efforts and also representatives of county and state programs to get their comments on our draft rules. And those comments have been incorporated into the program where we felt it was appropriate. The rules have been sent to the Attorney General's office. They've been reviewed in since May. Those comments were received back. Those comments were also incorporated where appropriate. The final document has been sent to the governor's office for review, or will be sent this Monday, I should say, and then that will be sent back to the OAL, hopefully for the 17th of July publication in August, the 17th of August, in the register. Once it's in the public register, there will be a 60-day comment period that brings us to October 16th. So hopefully that's the timetable we're looking at right now. We built in time to review and expect that final document will be presented to the House Council at our December meeting, a nice Christmas gift to the landowners, hopefully.
Thank you, Mr. Wall. Any comments on the report?
Seeing none. Next report out is the regional master plan update. Mr. Wellstead.
Yes, thank you. We met as recently as just yesterday, and staff continues to be heavily engaged in this in addition to its regular workload. Currently, we're reviewing a set of draft indicators. And, consultants have provided our staff with a number of indicators. Our staff has reviewed these indicators, brought them back to our consultant with recommendations. Ultimately, a final set of draft indicators will be available for the TAC committees to review this fall. The TAC committees, the appropriate TAC committees, will review these indicators, and from the TAC committees will become the final set of indicators, which will be then used to measure various levels of performance and achievement within the Highlands region. Again, the TACs expect to be meeting this fall, so during the course of the summertime, final resumes will be considered and the TACs selected. The public comment web portal is closed right now. It did close on April 30th. We received an enormous number of comments. What was the total, if you recall, roughly? Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah, it's 200-some. I know the document is 448 pages.
So now our staff has the task of running through all these comments, categorizing them so that we can direct them to the appropriate people to review or the appropriate tags. One of the challenges is that there's some that are very that have a lot of substance and are meaningful, and there's some that were basically a check-all for whether you like the Highlands or not. So those are not being discarded, they're being recorded, but of course there's really nothing else that we can do with those particular comments. Just yesterday we had an hour and a half presentation on the next component of the fiscal impact assessment report, and it's called the Real Estate and Demographic Analysis. And it was very interesting. Steve Gunnels is going to be tweaking it, and you can expect to see this report via screen at the next meeting. It's rather intensive. Be prepared. It's going to be, we kept up on it pretty well, and it was an hour 15 minutes, I think, for the full report. So it's going to take some time, so be prepared. And that is all.
Thank you, Mr. Allstead. That brings us to the that brings us to the Roxbury water quality update. Mr. Dressler.
Chairman, thank you. We met three times. We had the DEP on April 30th. We had the Roxbury Township and on May 21st. And last week, on June 11th, we had the Raritan Headwaters Association. And what we've done is we've collected information from all these agencies at this point. And I've got to be quite frank, there are concerns. There are a number of concerns that we have about the water in the area, the seepage that has occurred. And we're trying to get as much information as possible. Part of the problem is a number of the documents that were given us by the DEP go back a number of years. So we want to make sure that we have up-to-date information. We'll be having the people from the town in at a meeting, I'd say sometime in July, if we can work it out with everyone. And we will be taking information from the townspeople at that time as to measurements that they have. Right now, we have, I'm sure that you've all seen the reports, there's a concern over benzene that has shown up in the wells. There are five wells that have been tested by DEP. We want, to say the least, and I'm sure I'm not speaking out of turn, we want more testing done. There are a number of things that we're concerned about. The Raritan Headwaters were in, and Roxbury was in, and we got great information from them. Very up-to-date information. Raritan Headwaters was terrific last week when they came in. They gave us a lot of good information about what's going on in the various areas of the streams. So we've taken that information, we're working with that information, and after we meet with the townspeople, we expect to have a meeting with ourselves, Roxbury, Township, the DEP, and Raritan Headwaters, and come up with a way of taking care of the situation once and for all. It's not an overnight solution. It's going to take a while to make sure that this is taken care of in a professional, efficient manner, to make sure that the health of the people in the town is taken care of. It's not going to be done overnight. So I don't want you to have those expectations that we're going to go in and come up with a plan, and that plan is going to be put into effect, and everything's going to be taken care of in a couple of months. That's not going to happen. This is taking years to establish this problem, and it's going to take a while to make sure that the situation is rectified. But we have met with the three agencies. We'll have you in sometime, hopefully, in July. Then a meeting of all the concerned agencies, and we'll come up with a plan.
No question. Judge, the data that you've been collecting, the water quality data, will it be tabulated and made available to the public from your committee?
Everything will be made available to the public, yes. Complete transparency.
Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the report.
Thank you. By the way, the staff, Margaret, the staff has been terrific. They've worked overtime on this. They've given us a lot of good information, a lot of good substantial ideas as to where we should be going. Michael Francis and Carl have been terrific, and you know, this committee's worked and has worked hard because we do realize there's a potential problem and we want to rectify that. It's not just lip service.
Without the staff, we couldn't do it.
Thank you for your comments. That brings us to our last order of business, the public session. A reminder to keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. Anybody that's wishing to comment on the Fenimore issue, I would ask that you wait till we get the other comments out first so Mr. Alston can take over and deal with those, that particular issue. So at this point in time, a reminder to keep your comments to 3 minutes. Does anybody in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
My name is Carl Panetta. I live in Roxbury. I'd like to have a question based on that other, the Clinton thing. I'm a little bit concerned that if all the congressmen and state senators, and if I understand the laws that gentleman over there who has his glasses on his head like I do, was right, and they're supposed to have money to help those people like these people over here, I don't quite understand why, and I understand not all of it because I don't live down there, but I understand your report, and I understand why you want to do the things you're doing, but there's no money there, but these people are getting stuck, and no compensation there, but it's... Oh, well, I mean, it just bothers me that the state of New Jersey puts these things into place, like whoever said 10 years ago, if they would have known. But we're here now, and these guys got a good plan, but there's more than those. Just those farmers over there are getting screwed. There's other people, too. I didn't mean to say screwed, but we really have to look at the law, and the law says they're supposed to be compensated. And just because there's no money in the budget doesn't mean that... And turn that clock off, will you please? That's annoying. But that's, and I know what your thing says. It says you'll get back to me. I really think that that's an important issue that really needs to be addressed and addressed now, not if you want to come back to it later. This really needs to be addressed now because no money is not an excuse. The banks don't want to hear, I can't pay my mortgage. You owe it to these people, and I don't know why you guys don't do something about it. You should have did. Mr. Alston and I don't agree on a lot of times. But his idea was table this and talk about some more. Mr. Alston, I apologize for a lot of the things I've said to you, but that was an excellent idea, and the rest of you guys should have up and said, yeah, we need to look at that because of those people. Thank you for my comments, and turn that clock off.
Thank you. Did anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issue? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Jerome Wagner. I live at 32 Hillside Terrace in Wayne, New Jersey. I'm presently employed by Food and Water Watch, focusing on opposition to the Pilgrim Pipeline. Further, I've been an active member of the Coalition to Stop the Pilgrim Pipeline for the past year. This afternoon, I'm speaking on behalf of Food and Water Watch. I'd like to focus at this time on a constituency, the makeup of crude oil and the toxicity of one particular constituent, and the potential impacts to the state's drinking water supply. Crude oil, as extracted from the ground, is a mixture of many components. One class of constituents, which is of particular concern, is BTX, benzene, toluene, ethylbenzene, and xylene. These are all aromatic hydrocarbons. Industry big data on Bakken crude shows that these components make up an average of about 3% by weight of Bakken crude, a small but not insignificant percentage. Overall, about 0.3% of Bakken crude is benzene. All BTX compounds have been assigned safety threshold values in drinking water. These values have been set by the US EPA. The maximum contaminant level for benzene is 0.005 milligrams per liter, otherwise stated as 5 parts per billion. 5 parts per billion is a vanishingly small value. Further, the stated maximum contaminant level goal for benzene is zero. Zero. The goal is set so low because of the grievous health impacts of benzene. blood diseases, and cancer are known to be caused by benzene. Based on the scant information presently available about the Pilgrim Pipeline, a pumped release of spill from the southbound pump pipe could amount to as much as 6,000 gallons in a single minute. In that spill, there would be about 70 pounds of benzene. This amount is non-trivial. In fact, it's enough to contaminate 1.7 billion gallons of water to a point where the contained benzene would render it unsafe for human consumption. Again, almost 2 billion gallons undrinkable from a one-minute spill. How much before the pumps have actually stopped? Or how much before remediation teams are in place and active? The documented combined capacity of the Wanacue and Monksville reservoirs is about 37 billion gallons. A spill of Bakken crude in their watershed could render that full amount undrinkable in less than 30 minutes. Further, let's recognize that those 37 billion gallons represent over 200 days' supply to the contracted communities. Such a significant risk demands extraordinary prudence in any and all decision-making. In closing, any accidental release of oil within the watershed of the Wanacue and Monksville reservoirs or to aquifers which supply municipal wells could render those crucial water resources unavailable for an extended period of time. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes, ma'am.
Deborah Post, harmed landowner, Chester Township. Your draft equity compensation rule abandons receiving areas and puts in unambiguous black and white what we all have always known. This council has no intention of honoring its mandate to create a TDR program to compensate harmed landowners. For a decade, talk has included the establishment of Highlands TDR receiving zones, the critical and necessary component for any TDR program to develop a functioning and efficient marketplace. TDR stands for Transfer of Development Rights, and by definition requires development to be transferred from one space to another, the receiving zone. This council's purported plan does not include receiving zones. How can a TDR program not have a receiving zone? Answer, it can't. Your plan admits that there will be no receiving zones, admits that there will be no just compensation for the $6 billion of lost property values, admits that the landowners should forget any expectations of compensation, and admits that this council is satisfied to leave the landowners burned. The plan is a loud, screaming admission that this council has no intention of seriously working toward compensation of property value losses. Your plan is nothing more than a public relations effort to create the appearance of just compensation being forthcoming when everyone on this council knows that is a lie. This rule was designed only to spin well with the media, to sound like you are doing something when you are not. The rule contemplates just compensation being paid from a bank that has no money and has no reasonable expectation of ever having any money. The bank is an empty Potemkin illusion. To those who have objected to my past critique of your biased staff, the plan that compensation will be paid from an entity with no capital is stark naked proof of bad faith. Mitigation payments are to raise the $6 billion of compensation needed. Do you really think the Highlands farmers are pea-brained fools? The rule also contemplates this council partnering with sub and sister organizations of the Highlands Coalition, the heavily financed environmental lobby who never misses a chance to ensure that landowners are and remain burned. Your rule proposes that the easements be owned, monitored, and enforced, not by this council, but rather by the environmental extremists who will be empowered to dictate to those Highland landowners who are the victims of the largest land grab in our nation's history. Seriously? No rational landowner will sign such an easement document, so this council will be able to argue, gee, we offered to pay them and they declined. Whoever on this councilor's staff came up with that mischief may be more evil even than the drafters of the Highlands Act itself.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand, Mr.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition.
I have spent 2 days in the last few sitting in a courtroom in Flemington listening to public testimony being given on the Haberman Tract in Hampton. It is a complicated issue that is going to come before you. In fact, I believe that you have already spent quite a lot of time on this Haberman issue. I wanted to point out that when it does formally come to you again, which it will, the judge, Judge Buxbaum, made it very, very clear that he does expect every state agency to do its job properly and knows that you will. This property is an extremely sensitive one. It has the Musconetcong River, which includes Category 1 waters. It is wild and scenic on three sides of it. It is entirely cast limestone. It is very sensitive. And the judge made it clear that you need to do your job the way that you're supposed to do your job. So we look forward to hearing more about when this comes before you again and having an opportunity to comment to on it at that time.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Jody Anderson. We own a 74-acre deciduous tree farm in Hunterdon County, all in the preservation area. We have worked under a woodland management plan more than 20 years, are certified New Jersey tree farm, and have farmland assessment. The New Jersey Highland Water Protection and Planning Act has been in effect for more than 10 years now. I want to emphasize the words water protection. I am quoting from an article from the American Tree Farm System magazine. Forests are nature's water filter, capturing contaminants before they reach rivers and streams, holding the soil in place, minimizing erosion and sediment runoff. Healthy forests give us much of the abundant clean water we depend on. And yet, there is no dedicated funding to compensate people whose forested land has been preserved by this act. According to the SADC, under the Farmland Preservation Program, in 2007, they modified their focus almost exclusively on tilled farmland. There is nothing for a deciduous tree farm. In the Highlands area, the Transfer of Development Rights Program was supposed to provide funding. But, as I was told, this needs a lot of work. It is barely off the ground, and we will be long dead and gone if this is ever realized. We were told by a registered New Jersey forester, we are the poster children for the tremendous inequity and outrageous treatment of tree farmers resulting from the Highlands Act. An honor we do not appreciate.
Thank you. Would anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Good evening. Ken Collins from Andover, New Jersey. K-E-N-C-O-L-L-I-N-S. First, I'd like to encourage you to, in the words, just like the fellow from Food and Water Watch was saying, reject the Pilgrim Pipeline. Bakken crude shouldn't be coming through our watershed area, and I think, I don't know how that fits into the master plan, but I would encourage you to figure that out and see if you can keep that Bakken crude from endangering our water source. I'm also here today to ask you to make sure that you do a thorough review of the Penn East Pipeline project and to work closely with the public to keep the project off of preserved land, green acres, and parkland, and all areas that are under the jurisdiction of the council. It's imperative that the council identify everywhere that you have jurisdiction over this potentially very destructive project, that you fully exercise that jurisdiction and that you determine if it should be allowed to be constructed at all. Lastly, I'm from Sussex County, and I have to point out that there have been two notable instances of solar project-related scandal in the Highlands region, and those involved the Fenimore landfill and the Sussex Morris Somerset solar scandal. And I do have to point out that there is a common individual, two organizations that oversee these failed solar projects, the Highlands Council and the Sussex County Board of Freeholders. And I urge the council to ask for this individual's resignation effective immediately. Too much money has disappeared with little to show for it. Our State Assembly District 24 representatives are seeking SEC and DOJ investigations into the solar scandal's alleged trust fund diversions, and it would be in the best interest of the public, the state, and the Highlands Council to ask for Mr. Bowden's resignation effective immediately. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
My name's Hank Klump. I'm a farmer in Tewksbury, 150 acres in the preservation area. I really don't have anything written down here today, but first I came here especially because I see the landowners' equity and preservation. I appreciate the work that's been done on this. We've waited over 10 years for that, so another 6 months, there's nothing to cry about. But I do have another problem, and most of you don't even realize that we're in the preservation area, and nobody was compensated for that. We didn't want to go in. We were put in by the state. So what happens now is we're farmers, and we still have to do our farmland assessments. That's for people that don't know. You got to put the soils down, so forth and so on, each piece that you have, and calculate it. But, I mean, it's a time-consuming thing. And if you don't file for that, you'll lose your farmland assessment. Now, your Farmland Assessment Act was put in place back in 1964 to stop development. In 2004, the Highlands Act stopped all development up here in almost 880,000 acres. 415,000 acres are in the preservation. What I'm looking for is help. If to help us, we're in a preservation area, and I think you people could do this because If you say, hey, you're in the preservation area, you don't have to fill those forms out. It's ludicrous for you to do all this because there's nothing else you can do it. You can't develop it. It has no equity. And that's the biggest problem. It's different if you're in the planning area, there's different, or if you're out of the Highlands. I can understand that. But as long as we're still doing it, and the state is the biggest violator, you know, forestry, land, and everything. They don't do anything. And we're stewards of it. We're paying the taxes. We're doing all the work. And we're not being compensated whatsoever. So I think maybe this committee should, or the council should really consider this. I mean, I didn't write anything down. This is just, I mean, we do it every year. And it's a pain in the neck. I mean, there's no ream or reason that we should have to do it.
Who requires you to do that?
Tax.
State Department.
Taxation. Yeah. I mean, it's ludicrous that we have to do it. I'm stopping.
So you got 20 seconds.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Whatever you can do, that's the thing. I mean, if you just pass a resolution, say, hey, the guys in the preservation area don't have to do it no more. Or at least until we get compensated.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Would anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issue? Please raise your hand.
Sure.
My name is David Shope. I have a farm in Lebanon Township in the preservation area. Speaking of Lebanon Township, all the 8 acres of Lebanon Township are in the preservation area. The 8 acres that are not are right across the street from Muller Toyota, who's putting up a huge building with at least an 8 or 10,000 gallon fuel tank about to go on the ground that's not on the ground already. And you can spit into Spruce Run Reservoir from the Muller Toyota site. It's all about water preservation, it's all about. It's all about baloney is what it's all about. The only 8 acres, I'm sorry, 6 acres in Lebanon Township that are not in the preservation area is where this monstrous fuel tank is going to go, literally within a couple hundred feet of Spruce Run Reservoir. Get real. I mean, this hypocrisy is so obvious you don't even bother to hide it anymore. The pumps that supplies Round Valley have not been running over two years. It was a facility that was built with no reason, as it turns out. The huge population increase in industrial use of water that was projected for New Jersey turned out to be a total fake. The pumps have not been run in 2 years or more. They can't even test them. They had two of them rebuilt. They can't even test them. As far as the legislature, all these wonderful legislators that voted for this act, at least 8 of them are now jailbirds. They've been convicted of crimes and they went to jail. At least 8. I've stopped counting at 8. Beg your pardon?
I said surprise at 1-8. I'm sorry. Continue. Interrupt. Sorry.
The fees charged for exceptions, some of which are just so obvious that all it means is a copy of the deed would satisfy the need to prove an exception. DEP used to charge between $600 and $700 to look at a deed and say, yep, that land was bought before 2004, and a form that thick. Get rid of the exceptions or the charges for exceptions. It's ridiculous. We'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, I'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Alston.
Thank you. We'll continue with public portion of the meeting, and we'll open it to comments on Roxbury Township. Anybody like to speak? Yes.
Ken Collins from Andover again. This is getting kind of repetitive in this room for me. Once again, I'm before you to ask that you rescind the redevelopment designation that the New Jersey Highlands Council granted for the Fenmore landfill property. As you are well aware, there are clearly documented problems with the stream quality, seepage, and benzene in the wells nearby. While the fate of the remainder of the property remains in question, it makes sense for the Highlands Council to rescind the redevelopment designation and leave it to the future landowner, whoever that may be, to request it going forward. Thank you for forming a Roxbury Water Quality Committee. Now please take the next logical step and rescind the redevelopment designation that you granted for this property. Thank you.
Additional comments? Yes, ma'am.
Hello, Kathy Panetta, 14 Robertson Avenue, Ledgewood. I want to thank you so much for allowing Robert and Headwaters and giving them an entire, portion of one of your meetings to listen to their invertebrate studies. When you initially talked about having data, you said chemical monitoring, and I'm like, no. I mean, I was one of the people last year scooping the, we couldn't leave until we found 100 critters in the bucket. And we were there, usually it takes a half hour. We were there 2 hours, and I could, I told you, I could fit 10 of them in my fingernail, and they were all dead. So I was thrilled that you you just spoke to him and you had a DEP person also here that spoke to that. I just have a couple comments based on the minutes of the meeting. And I know they're very general, so I might be off base with some of this. I see that reps from the town were Rick Flood, who's the Department of Public Works. I'm not quite sure why he was sent or how appropriate that was. He repairs our potholes and fixes the parks and stuff. He's a lovely man, but I don't know how that had anything to do with Fenmore. And Mark Caputo, who's our health director, but he's never once been to a council meeting to answer all of our questions. We CC him on multiple emails that go to Ed Putnam, GOH, Christy, everybody else. And when I've had conversations with him on the phone on some of my concerns, he says he knows nothing about it. And I know I've CC'd him on these emails. He shares services with Randolph, so I don't know, honestly, this is so consuming now, if he has the time to really give you an honest opinion. At any rate, that was just a comment. I see that, thank goodness for more water testing, thank you very much. You've been $35,000 to the town and a grant to do the testing. My concern, and I'm sure you would have the same for honest information, is, you know, they're in a lawsuit. And it looks right now like the site might go back to Bernardi, which is even more of a reason not to make, you know, to make it a brownfield, because God knows what he would do. But for testing purposes, I don't know if you trust the DEP to do accurate testing that's unbiased, or the town, since their necks are both on the line in this lawsuit. I would ask that somehow you find an unbiased person to do that testing so that we know that it's accurate and there's no questions at all involved in it. One more thing. The Raritan Waters, you know, was doing their last week, June 15th to the 30th, they do all their stream monitoring. And maybe because of you, they're doing chemical monitoring this year. Did you make that happen?
No, they were planning to do that.
Okay.
This information won't be available to us till the fall.
I was going to ask, are you going to consider that? Because I know we're doing it this weekend.
We hope to have this wrapped up before then. You know, we'll try and get as much information from them as possible. But they told us that information will be available.
Wonderful. So you will be considering that as well.
Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Well, that was all I had. I only had three. And I wanted to add, beside Ben, you know, you probably know, it was dioxane 1 and 4 that was also found in the well, which also came out of Combs, and it's very dangerous.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anybody else wish to speak tonight? Mr. Sharp? I'm Roxbury.
Matter of fact, I'm going to refer to your Roxbury Water Quality Committee thing here, where it says, Chris Stannis, Director of Planning and Science, commented that the council does not collect data. However, we do empower those to collect data and use that data for our stakeholders. That's a powerful word. Empower? Empower to do what? What are the parameters by which you empower anybody to collect data? I'll collect some data for you. Empower me. I'll show you how it's done. So I'd like a clarity on that empowerment. And what we have over here is a bunch of nonprofits who without an issue, don't exist. I'm pointing generally.
You're pointing it at me.
Well, how about that one, and how about that one, and how about
let's
that
have some more
over there, too. Did I get them all?
Remember,
you feel better now?
Remember, you're referring your comments to Roxbury.
I beg your pardon?
Roxbury.
Yes, and one of the people who is collecting data, empowered to collect data, is the Headwater Association. They're a nonprofit. They get paid. They all get paid to be here and look for mischief even where there isn't any. So be careful who you empower.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak on Roxbury issues this evening? Yes.
Roxbury resident. Actually, I'm a Dover resident as well. I'd like
just
to
your name again, please.
Panetta. I'd like to follow up what Ken said before about coming back and looking at that resolution that you guys passed to allow Bernardi to move forward. And to, based on what this gentleman over here has said in your water testing and everything else that's going on, if the Fenimore landfill, if he wins this court case coming up, that everyone in this room is aware of, I would hope, he could get that property back, and just like in the Ghostbusters movie, shut the grid down, because he's going to do that, and he's going to continue to develop that property, and like someone else in this room said about the trees, and whatever, he's going to develop and develop and develop. And right now, I have two houses. Fortunately, my mother passed away a couple of years ago, and my wife and I are living there, and my kids are still in my house in Rochester. And the problem is, we're at the bottom. I don't know if my well's polluted or not. We're having it checked again. But my wife can't live there. Other people can't live there in Roxbury. But they're not as fortunate as I am to go to Dover. But this is a situation that is ruining a lot of people, not only Carl and Kathy Panetta. It's ruining a lot of people. And one time you and I, Mr. Alstead, went at it, and you said to me, we can't do anything. Well, you can do something now by going back and taking that resolution and changing it. Because if you don't, Bernardi is going to get that property back. And you know what's going to happen then? We're going to have a huge mess. And the water's going to even get more polluted. And why would it not? Because he's going to cut down more trees. And there's a whole load of other things that's going to happen. And the smell is going to come back. Because when he shuts down that grid... So this is a very, very important problem, and it's affecting a lot of people's lives. And just, gentlemen, thank you very much for what your group is doing. We were skeptical at first, but I appreciate what he's doing. And now the town of Roxbury, and you can ask your illustrious chairman, is now starting to think that maybe they made a mistake by allowing the DEP to come in and take it from Bernardi and not truck the crap out. So we need to understand that you're talking about people's lives, just like the farmers, but we're getting stuck with a situation that you guys, Mr. Alstead, you guys, your committee, can do something about by doing what I've asked and what Mr. Collins has asked for. This is an important issue. It's an issue of life and death. Now, you guys may think that I'm using those words, but it is. It certainly is. Thank you very much for listening to me. I really appreciate it. I saw in your notes there that you'll be getting back to us. My question is, we'd like to see that come back to you guys, your team, to re-vote on it so we can stop this. So I'd like to see you guys do that again. That's my question.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Thomas, please.
My name is Mary Henry. I live on Canal Street in Ledgewood. I am also at the bottom of the hill from where Fenimore Landfill is. I am one of the six who does not have anywhere to go. I live in two rooms in my house in front of air purifiers. My voice is like this because this is just my normal everyday voice until I get out of Ledgewood for more than a couple hours. I'm asking you to please consider rescinding, because if Bernardi comes back and does what he did before, I am just going to get worse. I have nowhere else to go. You guys have the power to stop him from doing this again to us. And if he wins these court battles, he's going to do it again. I don't like living in two rooms of my house. I don't like not being able to go outside. I don't like having to wear a gas mask riding down Route 10. I don't like having to not open a window in my house. So please do what you can do and rescind before this guy comes and gets us again. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry,
if I might.
Sure.
I think that we're missing a little bit of this senior. All that we've, and I say the Highlands Council, I voted no that night. All that the Highlands Council has done has granted the ability to come back for solar development, okay? if Bernardi wins this lawsuit, that's the least he wants. He won't come back for solar development. He'll open that site up. So, you know, whether the Highlands Council rescinds or not, it's irrelevant at this point. If he wins that lawsuit, that's the least of the problem. What we're trying to do is rectify the situation. We're trying to find out if the site is seeping. If it is seeping, what is it seeping? And how do we rectify the situation?
Can you elaborate a little bit more on what you said, sir? I don't quite understand what you mean.
Well, I think we need to be careful not to have a back and forth during the public session.
Well, then, why don't you let him talk to us? Because that's really important. Yeah,
he will certainly, I'm sure, stay and speak to you following the meeting, and as long as you wish, but we just need to maintain meeting decorum. So I'd like to continue with the public session, if I may. And is there anybody else who wants to comment to specific to any Roxbury Township issues this evening? Yes, sir, please. Just add your name, please.
My name is Bob Peslak. I live in Roxbury. And I was listening to you, Mr. Dressler, and you seem to express concern about the benzene. My problem is that from what I'm getting from what you were saying, there's not going to be any expediency in any measures to address this problem, which we've been living with for quite some time now. And this brings it to a whole new level because there's a discrete and insular minority of people who have shallow wells that are down gradient of this landfill. And from the beginning, my whole position was that the legislature let this happen because our senators voted unanimously for this solar bill, which gave them the power to reopen this landfill in the, I don't want to say pretense, but in putting solar fields. And as it turned out, that was never going to happen. And when the township got in a little bit of trouble, they came and shifted the responsibility on the people, asking us to go to Trenton and plead before the people who created this problem. Senator Whalen wrote the bill. The senators voted on it unanimously. This man is a convicted felon. The Berger Group, who provided the initial analysis for Fenimore Landfill, three of those gentlemen who represented that firm, the chairman, the CEO, and the vice president, are all federally indicted. Excuse me, but I am incredulous with every a system that was put in place to protect the people has failed, and we sit here and there's analysis of everything, and there's no action. We're sitting at the bottom of an unlined landfill with every night people going to bed wondering if this is going to be in their water, and we cannot have constant monitoring to see if it's in our water, and we're living with this every day. And this is part of what these government agencies were supposed to stop from happening. And I think when they separate themselves from the mass of people, that there is very little moral distinction. And you're serving injustices rather than justices. So that's really all I have to say. And hopefully, we'll be able to address this thing in a more expedient fashion.
Thank you very much. Would anybody else like to speak this evening? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. Bob Schultz from Randolph. First, I'd like to thank Judge Dressler and Councilman Francis and Councilman Richko. For all the work that they've done so far on the committee, we appreciate it very much, and we look forward to providing information to you as well as seeing what your report is. The benzene that was found, for all that you don't know, for all of you that don't know, in those wells was between 0.27 parts per billion and 15 parts per billion. The groundwater quality standard is 1 parts per billion. We all know benzene's a really bad chemical, and it's very concerning to us that this has been found, and we wonder, if it's getting into the wells down at the bottom of the mountain. There's over 200 public wells down there of residents, and I'm sure that most haven't done their own water testing. And that's something that should be done, and we've recommended it since the beginning, but still a lot of people don't know, or they might not have money to do it. The 1.4 dioxane is another concern of ours as well. That was found at Coneville North. It was found at Coneville South. North just recently, because they started testing it, and they found it in a resident's well. And here it is 20 years later, and they finally just found it. You know, it migrated off the site and got into this resident's well. And if you read the article that came out, I think it was in the Mount Olive newspaper, the DEP is now going to run a water line up to that resident's house, just one resident, and it's going to cost $1 million. And it's absolutely ludicrous. What's even more concerning to us is in all the testing other than the last round of NJDEP testing, the dioxane has never been tested for. So we don't know if it was there before or if it just came in now. We don't know if it's in any of the well testing that was done at the residents' houses. We don't know really anything other than this last round of testing, and we need more testing. And I absolutely agree with you. I mean, it probably should be done on a quarterly basis at this point. Another fact here is only 15 out of those 60 acres has been disturbed and capped. That means there's 75% of that landfill left to do something with. And I implore you guys, the one thing you can do is get rid of that solar redevelopment neighborhood, because that way it'll just be capped and that'll be the end of it, or trucked out is what we still want. And nothing else can happen there like what has happened before.
Thank you very much. Any additional comments? That being the case, we're going to close the public portion of the meeting.
So moved. Yeah.
Thank you. Council members, any final comments?
Yeah, one comment, Kurt, and piggybacking on what you brought up earlier about Clinton Township. I thought we had asked our staff long ago to ensure that TDR was brought up with every applicant that came through here, to go over with them, to encourage them to be part of it, and to tell us if they weren't, why. So what happened with Clinton Township?
Sure.
Anyway.
In the case of Clinton Township, they had the center study is evaluating what's facing them right now is their affordable housing component. The TDR component, when those market rate units come that you transfer, you don't transfer affordable units, you transfer market units. So part of the study is to figure out in the planning how much of it needs to be the affordable units and how much of it will be market that could then be evaluated for potential TDR down the road. But first they have to figure out where they are in that affordable build, which will drive it.
Understood. But how come that wasn't then part of the several steps and the condition that we set forth? I mean, we set forth in the resolution to approve that they have the checklist ordinance, and then later they have the normal ordinance that supersedes and replaces the checklist ordinance.
Right.
So why was there nothing in that requirement that stipulated that we have a TDR study, which would have been subsequent to the town center study?
We don't know just yet what the town center study is going to find. We don't have the scope of work for that. That could be a component that would evaluate how much capacity is available and what are the economics available to see that.
The downside is that if the town center study shows that TDR is not a good option, nothing's lost. But if it shows it's a good option, any municipality, you know, this is not particular Clinton Township, any municipality can say, well, that's nice, but we're not interested. So if we don't make it a part of the approval, we miss that opportunity. So I would encourage, obviously I can't direct you guys to do this, but I would encourage the council to direct staff that we make that part and parcel of getting approval, is that if you want to have these town center studies, you want to get approval of the planning area, that you at some point look at the TDR and make that a considerable a part of your approval process.
Chairman returns. We'll take it under consideration.
I think I caught most of that. I will have thoughts to Margaret and that.
Just for your information, we're having problems getting developers that want to participate in TDR in the urban portions of our county, because all of the towns are looking for redevelopment and they don't want the extra cost. So we're really having a problem getting the developers who would be paying the money in for those rights. They don't need the rights.
We've talked about that at length in the committee.
And it's a problem, right?
Yeah, the flaw in the Highlands Act compensation scheme, which is the TDR program, is the lack of our ability to assign receiving areas. Every other successful TDR program allows you to assign receiving areas. These are taking areas, these are receiving areas, giving areas, receiving areas. We have to depend on the goodwill of the 565 municipalities to accept being a receiving area. And the question before our committee is this just a flaw or a fatal flaw? If it's a fatal flaw, then the whole notion that this act has compensation for landowners will truly be exposed as fraud. I might think about where that will go, but give us some time to ferret that out.
And which is why we took a different direction in trying to go down the open space path, because at least, we're, again,
it's another avenue available to the state.
It's just an avenue that we're trying to get. You know, we only have so much funding available to us. And
I think there's a very simple answer that nobody wants to talk about, so I'm not going to talk about it today. But all of the towns that are in, the towns lose revenue when land gets preserved in open space. They don't get any tax dollars for it. It's always a nonprofit or a county that picks it up, right? There is a solution to it. There's a solution to funding the bank that farmers can use, and we talk to them about it. And it you know, gets to be a political issue, which it shouldn't be, but we should have a public discussion on this because there is a solution to it, and it's with the legislature. I know we get beat up all the time. I've said it before. They put in a flawed bill in terms of compensation. You know, and I don't want to make this urban versus rural, but the reality is the rural portion of the state, and I'm going to go along with the science, and the fact is it supplies water to half the state. The Highlands supplies water to nearly half the state. That's a responsibility that lays on those towns and those homeowners. There's got to be a compensation put in that those of us who don't live in the Highlands, who drink that water, should be willing to pay up.
And that's the
a
third,
bit. And that, I'm not saying a massive amount, but a bit would
and,
be a lot.
And Freeholder, that is the third item that the Landowner Compensation Committee is working on. It is the TDR program, the open space program, and the yet to be said
other thing. I'm not going to call a tax, but that's what's going to happen. Let me tell you something. The New Jersey State Legislature, because I just love them, passed a bill allowing foreign companies to buy up all of the government-owned water companies. Water is going to be the next issue in this country. Anybody can say it isn't. Watch California. Watch what's happening around the world where water deficit areas are becoming huge. All right? So we have the resource, and there is, you can call it a tax, and that's the political end that'll kill it. But if you're talking 5 cents for 1,000 gallons, it's not going to kill anybody. And it provides the money necessary for these people to get compensated, for the towns to fill in their tax deficit from preserving that land. And we can say what we want. We're spinning our wheels with all this other stuff because it's never going to put enough money in. Go buy a bottle. The people will buy a bottle of water for $2, but they won't pay a nickel or a dime more for 10,000 gallons or 1,000 gallons. Something's a little crazy.
Jim?
Yes.
You're absolutely right. And you know, without saying too much, years ago, 30 years ago, I was county council in Bergen County. And I used to have the Freeholder director tell me, this is what we want to do. You tell me how to get there. We have an idea of what we want to do. We just need the information that to tell us how to get there. And that's what the staff is compiling.
got to have legislators. You got to have legislators.
Once we've got
that care about local property taxes. Once everything they do in the legislature falls on the property owners, but they don't raise the tax.
We can't just go in with a recommendation half-assed.
No,
we got to do a recommendation.
Real numbers.
We've got the data to back us up.
Real numbers.
And that's what we're doing.
That's what we're working for.
Thank you.
And if he'll go along with it, he'll pass.
Oh. Any other comments?
I put all faith in.
Yes, sir.
The draft act, the draft Highland Act, up until a few days before the act was passed, included a provision that 4% of each Highlands municipality be specified for a receiving area. But maybe we could plead with the legislature to have another look at that.
I think if they're going to open up the act, I think there's a lot of things we should look at.
Any other comments?
Yeah. Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
I don't know, I'm having fun now. I want to stay. I want to.
On another subject, replacing for our attorney.
Yeah.
Right. Updated earlier. I know you have resumes in.
We're interviewing July 2nd.
Can we see those?
Yeah.
Send them out.
Consider it.
Yeah. Any other comments? We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.